John chapter 11, verse 1 to 6, 11 to 46, and I shall read. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Verse 11, These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Verse 31. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Verse 39. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. God bless the reading of his holy word.
There is a Chinese saying that goes like this, Shen Lao Bing Shu. That is literally, you are born, and then you grow old, and you become sick, and then you die. Yes, it speaks of a man's life here on earth. That's what many people in the world believe, and especially the heathen. And you can see that they accept life as a path in which a man takes when he is born, and then he will grow old. And sometimes he may fall sick, and after that, he will die. And so, because of such kind of belief, when sickness does strike, a person or a member of the family, and then finally, the sickness results in death. Unbelievers are more or less ready to accept when sickness does come into man's life. But you notice that they are not so quite prepared if there is suffering. Yes, do you hear of people saying, it is okay if I were to fall sick, but please do not let me suffer. Let not the sickness be a prolonged suffering, so much so that I have to suffer for many months or many years, and not only me, but even my loved ones, my family will have to suffer with me. And at the end of it, I still die. After all the suffering, yes, I still die. I don't want to suffer, and I don't want my family to suffer. Now, how do we as Christians look at such things? Sickness, suffering, and death. In the life of a believer and in the Christian home, do you wonder why must Christians fall sick? Why must Christians suffer? How do we deal with sickness and death when they come upon us and upon our loved ones? Especially, how does the Christian family cope with when one of the members of the family is struck by a terminal illness or some other adversity, like having a handicapped child in the family, one who is not able to walk and talk and suffering from epilepsy, seizure throughout her life, and perhaps even may die before the parents? What is the end or the purpose of God in allowing illness or suffering in the life of a Christian and also in the Christian home? And is it the end? Is it the end of it all? When a child of God were to contract some kind of terrible illness, some terminal illness, can we ever know and understand God's purpose in all these things that happen to us in our life? What should our attitude be in our encounter with such trials and such afflictions in life? Well, to help us to know how to cope with such things, sickness, suffering, and death, in the life of a believer and in a family, in a Christian family, it will be helpful for us to consider what is the end, as the aim and the purpose of sickness, even terminal illness in the life of a child of God. And there are three purposes or reasons I'd like to share with us this morning. And hopefully, when we understand these reasons, we will be able to humble ourselves before the Lord God and be able to cope better when we are face to face with sickness, suffering and death in the Christian family. Firstly, let us recognize that there are times when God does allow sickness in the life of a believer for the purpose of chastisement or chastening. In the famous communion passage in 1 Corinthians, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 29 to 32, there Paul was exhorting or warning the brethren in the church in Corinth concerning the things that may befall upon them if they were not to partake of the Lord's Supper worthily. And there Paul warns them, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep," that is, many die. "For if we would judge themselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." As a judgment for their sins of not partaking the Lord's Supper accordingly, the people were afflicted with sickness, and sickness unto death. But the judgment, though severe, is considered as a chastening of the Lord. And when we think of chastening of the Lord, it is a punishment in love. And this was so that the people may be awakened through their sickness and through their suffering, that they might be awakened and they might examine themselves before the Lord and confess their sins and to repent from their sins. For they have sinned against the Lord because of their misbehavior before the Lord's table. So yes, sometimes when we do not behave, conduct our lives properly as according to God's will, the Lord God may have to chasten us, punish us, but in love, not with anger, the Lord's chastening. One biblical example of how the Lord used sickness as a form of chastening his child is in the case of King David and his sin with Bathsheba. And when King David, after he had sinned against the Lord God sent the prophet Nathan to teach David a lesson. And even as David, after he has heard from the prophet Nathan, he was ready. He was ready to repent of his sins. But no doubt the Lord God had forgiven of his sins the child that was to be born out of the sinful union was to die. And the Lord God therefore struck the child with sickness unto death. And that was a form of chastening for King David. But how David humbled himself. Yes, he did not protest or rebel against God, but he humbled himself before the Lord God and received God's chastisement as God's love, God's care for him. He recognized that it was his sin that resulted in his pain and suffering, and therefore he received God's chastisement readily. Dear friends, do we recognize any suffering or sickness that we have to endure in our life that may be due to some sin that we might have committed? Is it some sin of gluttony that we have committed that leads to some stomach disorder or some overweight problems, and that leads to many other health problems that we may have to suffer in life? Is it because of some sin of idleness or mismanagement of our time that we do not have time to exercise our body, and therefore because of that we will have to suffer many other sin, many conditions that may come in our life, like high blood pressure or heart attack? If you were to link it backwards, we find that it could be due to some sin on the part of ourselves. Yes, is it because of some neglect on our part to live and to eat healthily, and as a result, our body suffers? Or is it because of some spiritual sin of neglecting God and neglecting His word? And so the Lord God in His loving care has to chastise us to bring us back onto the right path, onto the right track, onto the right path of righteousness. Recently, sometime in August this year, I was hospitalized for some medical condition. And I thank God that after some investigation, the doctor cleared me with a clean bill of health. But as I reflected on what that had happened, I thought that if only I had been more careful with my diet, I would not have to need to go through all that trouble of getting hospitalized and being sick. Yes, that was the sin of not eating healthily. Nevertheless, I thank God for His mercy to forgive and to deliver in such a short time. Well, when in times of sickness and suffering, we all need to go through a time of soul searching. When the Lord God sends sickness into our life, it is always good that we spend time searching, examining our hearts before the Lord God. And if we do so, and when we have examined our hearts before the Lord and realize that it could be due to some sin, let us be ready to confess and to repent. Yes, because it may be the Lord rebuking us of our sins. Let us humble ourselves before the Lord and not to despise the Lord's chastening. Rather, be ready to accept His loving and fatherly chastisement for our profit and holiness. The Bible tells us that for whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth you as with sons. Yes, it is because that we are children of God, and if we have done wrong against the Lord in His loving care, in His fatherly care, who chasten us. And so let us be ready to examine our hearts and be ready to accept His chastisement when we realize that we have run wrong against God. Of course, it may be painful and grievous to undergo the rebuke and chastisement, but nevertheless, afterward, it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness, as Hebrews 12:11 tells us. That is, the end result is peace. The end result of the chastisement is more righteousness. Yes, we will be made more holy, more dead unto sins, and more alive unto the Lord God. So let us let the trial produce in us the submission of our soul to God, and a heart that has more confidence and trust in Him after we have gone through it all. Learn from Job, who could testify after he has gone through all his sufferings, that, or rather, when he was going through his sufferings, though he slay me, yet I will trust in Him. Yes, the Lord God wants us to learn to trust in Him even more fully and to place more confidence in Him, even as we go through times of sickness and suffering. Learn to see the benefits from the afflictions and be able to say, like the psalmist, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. Yes, sometimes God does send affliction to us so that we might learn to keep His commandments. It is perhaps that we could have gone astray from God and from His word, and afflictions have to come unto our lives to remind us that we have to keep His commandments. And if we do keep the word of God, we thank God that yes, the word of God will help us not to sin against God. Keep the word that we might not sin, and even enjoy good health. Yes, if you are to keep the word of God, we will enjoy good health. Proverbs 4:20-22 tells us. Proverbs 4:20-22 tells us, my son, attend unto my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So, dear friends, if we would not want to fall sick, let us be sure that we keep God's word in our hearts. As we do so, we will not sin against God. And as we do so, we will have health in our flesh. Now, while chastisement or chastening by the Lord may be a valid biblical reason for some sickness and suffering in our lives, it is definitely not the only reason, and not even the main reason. Thus, we note that there is other reasons, and secondly, we would like to consider another reason now, and that is that God does allow sickness and suffering for our blessing and for our good. Remember the words of Romans 8:28 that say, Romans 8:28 that says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Yes, all things, and here all things include all ordinary afflictions in life and some other extraordinary trials that we may go through in life, or some of us may go through in life, even as children of God. Which means that those who are loved of God, even as it says here, these things will happen to those who are loved of God. And those who love God and those who are loved of God, yes, they do suffer afflictions in life. We are not spared. None of us, even though we may be children of God, we are beloved of the Lord God Almighty. None of us is spared from afflictions and adversity in life. Nevertheless, we can draw comfort that though we may go through afflictions and sufferings in life, through sickness, we thank God that the Word of God does comfort us. And in Lamentations 3:32-33, very comforting passage here that tells us that, but though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. For He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Yes, the Lord God does permit afflictions in our lives. But here again, the Word of God says that He does not afflict His children willingly. But it is for a purpose. The Lord God does send afflictions in our life for some purpose. And oftentimes it is for our blessings. It is for our good. For example, in the case of the Apostle Paul, if you were to read his famous testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10, we realize that the thorn in the flesh that was given to the Apostle Paul was for a good purpose. Of course, here in this testimony, Paul did not suffer a sickness unto death, but the affliction was truly a suffering that tormented him throughout his life. The affliction was so sharp that Paul pleaded earnestly with the Lord that the Lord God would remove it from him. He pleaded 3 times. But God had a purpose in letting Paul to endure such an adversity in his life. And it was for his blessing and for his good. It was to humble him and to help him to acknowledge his own weakness and limitation. It was to help him to learn dependence upon the Lord rather than upon his own wisdom and strength. It was to enable Paul to draw upon the power of Christ and on the grace of God. It is all sufficient to help him to cope in his service unto the Lord while bearing the thorn that was in his flesh. And if the Apostle Paul accepted this adversity in his life, he humbly accepted it before the Lord God, as he declared in 2 Corinthians 12:10. There saying, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So Paul could see God's goodness and God's blessing for him in letting him to have that thorn in the flesh. It is so that when he is weak, then he is strong in the Lord, not in himself. How about us, dear brethren? How do we look at our sickness and suffering? Do we take pleasure in our sickness and suffering and acknowledge that when we are weak, then can we be strong in the Lord? Hear the testimony of one who was severely tormented. Job. Job, in his suffering from boils all over his body, and yet he could humble himself before the Lord God and says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." So he recognized that the Lord God has a good purpose for him, and it is for his own good, that though he might go through the suffering and the pain, but the Lord God has meant it to be so that he'll come forth as gold. Another great servant of the Lord, the Prince of Preacher, Charles Spurgeon, said these words in one of his sermons: "Thank God for good health, and thank God for bad health." Yes, dear brethren, can we say that as well? Both these men of God are saying that there are blessings and goodness to be found in sickness that are experienced nowhere else. In God's eyes, sickness may be the best way to work out some good in our lives. Did not the Lord bless Job double-fold at the end of his affliction? Here is a testimony of a hymn writer, the hymn writer of the hymn "More Love to Thee." It's a lady by the name of Elizabeth Prentice. She was the wife of a Presbyterian minister, and she spent most of her life as an invalid, seldom knowing a day without constant pain throughout her body. Yet she was described by her friends as a bright-eyed, as a cheery lady, always having a keen sense of humor. And Elizabeth was always strong in faith and always encouraging others, until one day when tragedy struck her family beyond that even she could bear. She lost two of her children, one after another. And truly that brought great sorrow into Elizabeth's life. For weeks, no one could console her. And it was found out that in her diary, she wrote these words: "Empty hands, a worn-out, exhausted body, and unutterable longings to flee from a world that has so many sharp experiences." She just wanted to die. And during this period of grief, Elizabeth cried out to God, asking the Lord God to minister to her broken spirit. And it was this time that Elizabeth's story became a living testimony. Yes, the Lord God used her and gave her words to compose beautiful hymns. And for over 100 years, Christians all over the world have been encouraged when they sing the words of the hymn, "More Love to Thee," penned by Elizabeth Prentice in her deepest sorrow. And there's one stanza which really touched my heart, and that is the third stanza, which speaks like this, which says these words: "Let sorrow do its work, send grief and pain. Sweet are thy messengers, sweet their refrain. When they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to thee." Yes, this lady considered sorrow as messengers, sweet messengers that God did send into her life. And she would humble herself to let sorrow do its work and even plead with God to send grief and pain, because they are messengers of God to help her to experience God's goodness in her life. Are we able to look at grief and pain in our lives in this light? Dear friends, indeed God has good and blessed purpose in allowing afflictions in our lives. Sickness and suffering can give us more time to meditate and reflect upon the goodness of God that we so often take for granted in times when our life is so peaceful and so smooth going. Sickness and suffering can remind us of how fleeting life is and cause us to value eternity more. In times of health, we would think that we can live forever here in this world and to enjoy all the so-called goodness in this world and think not of eternity. Sickness and suffering remind us how weak we are and how dependent upon divine strength and grace we should be. In terms of health, we think that we can depend on our own strength, on our own body. But the Lord is good in sending sickness and health, that we may be more focused upon the Lord God Almighty. Yes, God used sickness and suffering to speak to us. So let us humble ourselves to listen to His still small voice and to learn what lessons He is teaching us during times of sickness and suffering. Certainly, they have a good end. And it is definitely not the end when we encounter sickness, even terminal illness. Now let us consider a third purpose for sickness and suffering. Let us realize that God does use sickness and suffering all for His own glory. And for this, we refer to the case of Lazarus in the Gospel of John, in John 11. Lazarus was terminally ill. And when his two sisters, Mary and Martha, sent for the Lord to come quickly to heal their dear brother, to their surprise and to their disappointment, the Lord Jesus, the great physician, did not respond immediately. Rather, the Lord deliberately delayed his coming. And as a result, Lazarus died. By the time the Lord reached his home, and he was dead 4 days already, the Bible tells us. And as the sisters wondered and lamented, why did not a Savior come earlier so that their brother would not have died and they would not have to suffer in sorrow? The Lord's answer was that Lazarus' sickness was not unto death, but for the glory of God. Yes, it was through the death of Lazarus that the Lord Himself, He manifested His power over life and His power over death. And it was also to show His love for His dear children, even these three dear friends of His. The Lord Jesus Christ did the greatest miracle possible by raising Lazarus from the dead. He was dead. He died from his sickness and buried in the grave for 4 days already, and the Lord Jesus Christ came and raised him from the dead, and that marveled the people who were watching him, especially the unbelieving Jews. And by this act, the Lord Jesus Christ showed that he had power to conquer death. And as a result, God was greatly glorified through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. And the focus at the scene in Bethany was on the Lord, how he overcame death, and how he showed his love for the saints. The attention was shifted away from the sickness and the death of Lazarus, but on the miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed, how he had control over death. And an even greater purpose was that many believed. The Jews, the unbelieving Jews, when they watched what the Lord Jesus Christ did, many of them believed the Savior. All to the glory of God. Now, how about us? How can we glorify God in our sickness and suffering? When we suffer afflictions, there are two possible questions that we may ask. Why or how? Why does God allow me to suffer this sickness? Why does God allow my loved ones? Maybe if it is upon ourselves, may not be so bad. But why upon our loved ones? Why upon that little child? Yes, we may ask why and why. But if we go on to ask why and why, there'll be no answers. It will only compound the problem and only makes us feel even more miserable and downcast. Rather, we ought to ask, How can we use our urinals to glorify God? How in this difficult time can we learn more about God and to draw closer unto Him? Yes, how can the urinals help us to see God and taste the Lord's greatness and of His goodness, that He's gracious and He's merciful and He's loving? If you were to adopt this attitude, Christians and non-Christians around us, as they see us and observe us going through the suffering, they will appreciate something of the grace and the mercy and the love of God manifested in us, despite of the afflictions that we do go through. And in so doing, God is therefore glorified. God is glorified that by the demonstration of His love and grace in a way that Christians bear and cope with sickness and suffering. So let us take all opportunity during time of sickness and suffering to direct all attention to the Lord and testify of His goodness. Testify that our soul is well before the Lord God, because Christ cares as much for us in times of sickness and in times when we are well. See that the crowd noted how the Lord showed His love for Lazarus even as he groaned in spirit, and he was troubled in his heart, and he even wept at the grave of Lazarus. Yes, because the Lord God loves them. And if you were to, in times of sickness, channel all thoughts, all to God's love for us, God's name will be glorified. So let us help people to see the Lord, that He's always sympathetic towards us. He is always having compassion towards His people, even when we are sick and afflicted. Always tendering, always caring for us tenderly in times of our afflictions. Through sickness, a believer has great opportunities to draw and to direct, to point people to Christ. And this is one of the great ways to glorify God. Once I read the testimony of a young man. He was in the prime of his life, but he contracted cancer. He had leukemia. But he did not take pity upon himself. Rather, he used his time, the remaining days of his life, to seek to draw people to Christ. And while he was in the cancer ward in the hospital, he made use of his time to minister to the people, to share the gospel with the hospital staff and also with the other sick patients in the ward. And as people look at him, they marvel at the faith that this young man had. How he trusted in the Lord, even in times of his afflictions. Yes, they could witness the great and sufficient grace of God that is present in the life of this young man. And the Lord's name was therefore glorified. The writer of the beautiful and tender hymn, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand," which we will sing afterwards. He was once singing at a revival meeting, serving the Lord by singing for God's people to encourage them. But while he was serving the Lord in singing at the meeting, he received an urgent telegram. It was the tragic news that his wife had just died while giving birth. And by the time he rushed home, the infant also died. This man, Thomas Dorsey, was greatly grief-stricken and stunned when he encountered these double deaths. And he was so heartbroken that he wanted to give up serving the Lord and to go back to his old life. However, after some time, as he continued to suffer in deep sorrow, Thomas cried to the Lord to lead him through the storm, through the night, as he felt so tired and weak and so all alone because of the sorrows that he was going through. Yes, these are the words that he penned in a hymn. And it has been used of the Lord God to minister to many saints in many wonderful ways. And when it was first sung, the whole church broke down. After such a tragic happening, Thomas Dorsey then experienced an uplifting of his spirits. And with a personal spiritual revival, he was led by the hand of the Lord to write even more hymns, more gospel songs, to point people unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said this, "My business is to try to bring people to Christ. Instead of leaving them where they are, I try to lift their spirits and to let them know that God still loves them. He's still saving, and he can still give that power." Dear friends, do we take opportunity during times of sorrows and griefs to point people unto Christ? We also read of many other hymn writers whose lives had been sickly, yet they pressed on, using the time of sickness to write great hymns, which are used of God to bless many other creatures. And many centuries down, after they have written those songs, the Lord God has used them to be sung by people, and when people sing them, they are attracted to the Savior. One example is that of Annie Johnson Flint, a great, amazing woman indeed, author of 6,000 hymns and gospel songs. She was an orphan, and she lived with a crippling arthritis, confined to a wheelchair all the rest of her life. And not only that, but she was also stricken with cancer. She was struck with cancer. And yet her faith was still strong in the Lord. And it is evident in this hymn that she has written, entitled "What God Had Promised." And it says like this, three stanzas: "God had not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. God had not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. God had not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He had not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. But God had promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love." Yes, this hymn writer's attitude through all the struggles and pain and the confinements that she was suffering from was that of submission, was that of faith and trust and confidence in the Lord God. And so, even though her fingers were bent and swollen because of her cancer, that she was able to write many inspiring hymns and poems that were used of the Lord God to be a solace and comfort to many of her friends and to the world of believers. Now, another way of glorifying God in our illness is by making a point to call upon the Lord for help and deliverance. Yes, as long as there's still life, though we may be suffering from a terminal disease, there is hope for deliverance. And we should call upon the Lord God for help and for deliverance. A sister in our midst, whose brother suffered a stroke, and he was in coma for weeks. But this sister did not give up. She believes in prayer. She believes in God, that God will answer our prayers. So she got the church to pray. And not only the church, but even other related churches. And she came also to our church in our prayer meeting to share with us and ask us to pray. And we prayed. And we thanked the Lord God that the Lord God, in his mercy, in his goodness, in his grace, delivered the brother. And the brother is today a living testimony to encourage others to call upon the Lord God for deliverance. And in so we shall glorify him. There is a sister in my church. Her father is suffering from cancer. And recently he was again warded in hospital for some surgery. And it was quite a bad case. So bad that the mother told this sister to get the family ready for the homegoing of the father. And this sister said that her mother even told her to prepare mourning clothes for the family. Make sure that everyone in the family has white and black clothes ready. But at the same time, they did not give up. No doubt they were prepared, but they did not give up. They prayed. Prayer prevailed. And when the father was in the operating theater to remove some fluid from his heart, for 20 minutes, there were friends who were with this sister and they prayed throughout that 20 minutes. And they prayed and prayed, and lo and behold, it was a successful operation. And the Lord God delivered the father. And the surgeon was so surprised and amazed, and she came to the father and told him. Earlier, before that, the surgeon told him that, told the family that he might only have 2 months the most. But now, the surgeon is talking about seeing him next year, sometime next year. Yes, how he praised God that, and in so doing, these things truly glorify God as we call upon the Lord God in prayer. The psalmist says in Psalm 50:15, call upon me in a day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And did not we see that David, no doubt, yes, he knew that the prophet Nathan said that the child would be sick and the sickness would be unto death. But he did not give up. As long as the child was still alive, he fasted and prayed and wept before the Lord God Almighty to deliver the child. And he said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that a child may live? Mary and Martha also, in John 11, we read that they sent word for the Lord Jesus. That means they prayed, they call unto the Lord God. They call upon the great physician to come for help. Let us be always praying, praying without ceasing for the terminally ill, all for the glory of God. Because by doing so, we are showing dependence upon the Lord God Almighty, to trust in Him even in a seemingly hopeless situation. As we persevere in calling upon God for His mercy, it is honoring to God, and it is promised to deliver us from trouble. Of course, it is not always that the delivery is going to be a physical delivery or recovery, but just by depending upon God, by calling upon Him, depending upon His grace to cope with the sickness and suffering, is in itself a delivery. As we call upon God, we are trusting in God, and that gives us peace of heart and mind to know that the Lord God, He is able to do great and mighty things. Yes, that itself will glorify God as people see how dependent we are upon the Lord God, upon His grace and upon His strength. One more way in which we can glorify God through the sickness is to face death at the end of the terminal illness with faith, with courage and strength in the Lord. Yes, the death of a Christian should not be a terrible experience to be dreaded and feared. Notice how the Lord referred to the death of Lazarus. The Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ referred to Lazarus as that he was just sleeping and that he would be awakened again. Yes, a true Christian, when he dies, is just but sleeping. He is just resting from the labors of the days gone by, and he's waiting for the next morning for the Lord to wake him up in the presence of His glory. Isn't this a comfort and a consolation for us who are born again, children of God? The day when we die, in the eyes of God, we are just but sleeping, and the Lord is waiting to wake us up in the presence of His glory. Yes, dying may be a problem. The process of dying, going through death, for a Christian, also for the dear ones, it may be painful. A lot of pain and sorrow, of course. But death itself should pose no problem for a child of God, because we are children of the living and true God. The death of a child of God, as far as the Lord God is concerned, the living and true God is concerned, is precious in the sight of the Lord. Psalm 116:15 tells us. And as we die, it is to go into paradise with the Lord at once. It is to go to the Father's house. It is to be with Christ. It is to be at home with the Lord. And Paul tells us in Philippians 1:21 that it is a gain, and it is far better than being here. And this is the way that Christians are to regard death. And what blessing it will be if you are to look at it this way, when death does come. Will we look at it this way, when death does come to our lives, on to the lives of our loved ones? Many great saints of old expressed the longing to be with Christ when they were in their deathbed. With exceeding joy, rather than with fear or sadness. For example, Richard Baxter, when he was on his deathbed, and he was asked, "How are you?" And you know what was his answer? "Almost well, and almost home." So how he longed to be present with God the Father. D.L. Moody said on his deathbed, "God is calling me, and I must go. This is my coronation day, waiting for the crown." And then there is Martin Lloyd-Jones. It was said that his good friend lamented at his bedside, saying this word that to him, "It grieves me to see you lying here, weary and worn and sad." But immediately Martin Lloyd-Jones declared, "Not sad, not sad at all," for he was all ready to go. Yes, do not these testimonies of saints who have gone before us to our Father in heaven comfort us that a Christian, as far as a Christian is concerned, death is not terrifying unknown. In fact, we all know about what will happen to us when we die now. Then we know about what will happen to us tomorrow. The Bible says, "Absent with the body, present with the Lord." Yes, shall we be with the Lord? Yes, we shall be with the Lord when we die. And we shall see Him as He is. And we shall awake to a new day in the presence of the glory of God. So, dear brethren, how do we cope with sickness and suffering and death when they come upon you or your loved ones? We may not be spared from periodic or prolonged sickness and suffering in this life, but we praise and thank God that we can find rest and encouragement in God and in His holy word, even in times of such great personal distress. Let us learn to accept that the Lord God does allow afflictions into our lives in order to chasten us, to bring us back to walk in the path of righteousness with Him. Let us acknowledge that God does allow adversity in our lives for our blessings and for our good. He has a good cause always. The Lord is good. All things work out for good to those who love Him. And let us appreciate that God permits His children to endure tribulations in life in order that His name may be glorified even through our afflictions, through our experiences. So may God help us to understand God's purpose of allowing His dear children to go through sickness and suffering in life so that we will be humbled before Him to better cope with them when they come upon us or upon our dear ones. Let us pray. Father in heaven, O God, how we thank Thee that Thou art a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of grace. Thou art faithful, and Lord, Thou art always caring for us and watching over us. In good times and even in times of afflictions and sickness, sickness that may be unto death, we can always trust in Thee and look up to Thee and find comfort and consolation in Thee and in Thy holy word. So, Lord, we pray Thee that You will comfort all of us, and especially some of our dear ones here who may be going through afflictions in life, suffering from sickness, even death of their loved ones, that we may all always look up to Thee and knowing that all that we go through may be for Your glory, to the honor of Your great name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.